Hi, this is Debbie Voiles, coach at Mojo for Running with podcast number 77, How to Run Hills, Part 1, Uphill. Welcome to the podcast for all runners. Whether you are a newer runner training to improve your 5K time or you're training for your first marathon, you'll find plenty of information in the Mojo for Running podcasts and on the mojoforrunning.com website. By the way, on that website, there is a button you can click for podcasts, and you will see that there are two listed, this one, the Mojo for Running podcast, and my podcast, which is specifically for beginners, called the Beginner Runner Village podcast. If you click on the beginner on the Mojo for Running podcast archive, you can see a list of all of the Mojo for Running podcasts and look for various topics that might be of specific interest to you at this point in your running career. On that website, I have programs for people training for their first effort at a new distance. Please check that out. Now let's talk about hills. Some runners avoid any race, or any training for that matter, on hills. Other runners live in areas so strewn with hills that they're unavoidable. They train on hills every day because they have no other options. Still, other people seek out hills and even look for races with hills. I know some of you are wondering why anyone would do that. There are a couple of reasons why people actually like hills. Not surprisingly, people who haven't mastered hill running technique tend to dread hills and races with hills. They avoid hills whenever possible and lose precious time in any race that has hills. As a result, runners who know how to run hills have a huge advantage. They place higher than they would in a race with a flat course. A second reason to like hills is that they do wonders for your running in general. Train on hills and you will run better. It will make you faster and it'll improve your running form by helping to lengthen your stride. This is especially helpful for older runners because one of the biggest problems is that as we age, our natural running stride tends to get shorter, possibly because our hips become tighter. Regular hill training can reverse this trend. Also, think of training on hills as being like training at altitude or training in severe heat or high humidity. After you do it, running on flat ground will be faster because it'll feel easy. When I was a swim coach, we would have the swimmers wear two or three swimsuits. Yeah, at the same time. They called them drag suits. They forced the swimmers' muscles to work harder to stay at the same pace. Let's talk today about how to run uphill, and next time I'll talk about downhill technique. One is just as important as the other when it comes to racing. You can gain on your competition on both the uphill and downhill with good technique. However, the downhill is where you can really tear past a great number of people. However, if you lose time on the uphill, you'll lose much of what you could have gained in the downhill. Much of the potential is lost. Therefore, to maximize your hill running overall, you want to optimize both the uphill and downhill parts. The most important thing as regards running uphill is to try to maintain close to the same speed you had on the flat ground leading up to the hill. With good uphill technique, you won't labor as much, which is huge for preserving energy. Once you master hill running technique, you'll be looking for races with hills, and you'll be more likely to train on hills, which is the equivalent of speed training, or a type of speed training. Let's talk about that for a minute. Most runners looking to improve will do speed work, traditionally a couple of days a week. Not back-to-back, hopefully. For most people, it ends up being on Tuesday and Thursday, although it certainly doesn't have to be. Most people train on a 7-day cycle, but that's just out of convenience because most people have to work around jobs and can best schedule their long run on the weekend. Anyway, that's why most people end up doing speed work on Tuesdays and Thursdays. It's common for people to do shorter speed work on a track with a coach one of those 2 days. The other day is perfect for a tempo run, fartlek workout, or hill training. I like to see people mix it up from week to week, and that certainly makes it more enjoyable. Just thought I would mention that to give you a little incentive to think about hill running technique. Since it is essentially a form of speed work, do not add it to a week that already has two speed workouts in it. Instead, replace your longer speed workout with hill training. Last time, I discussed tempo runs, and soon I'll do podcasts on Tabata training and fartleks to cover most of the common types of speed work. Anyway, I want you to consider hill training as a form of speed work. There are many different ways to do a hill training workout, but I'll cover that in another episode. Today, we just want to focus on technique. I think many runners don't realize there is a correct technique for both running uphill and downhill, that they should run uphill differently from running downhill, and that in both cases, their technique should be different from running on flat ground. I'm going to explain the different elements of correct technique and encourage you to work on each one individually before and then putting them all together to discover a tremendously different experience when you put all the different elements of good uphill running technique together. I hope you're excited because this may be a huge benefit to your running. You'll never look at races with hilly courses the same, and you'll be much more likely to do hill work, which is a very effective means of improving your running. Many coaches have their runners train on hills once per week. We have a bit of trouble doing that here because, hey, it's Florida, flat as a pancake. However, we do have some spectacular bridges, and since we often travel to races that have lots of elevation change, we have to train on those bridges. It's not really too bad, though. We get to see some amazing sunrises and sunsets over the water. Dolphins, manatees, and the other day I watched a group of about 40 stingrays from the top of one of those bridges. Learning how to run hills can be a huge advantage for several reasons. One, it'll make you faster than all the people who are just trudging uphill exactly the same way they run on flat ground. Two, you can get injured running hills, especially if you're not accustomed to it. Knowing how to run them can prevent injury. Three, it will help you to have a better attitude about hills. If you know proper technique, they won't be intimidating. You just need a bit of finesse. And four, proper technique will save your legs for the rest of the race, meaning you're likely to finish much stronger. Now, what is proper hill running form? Well, you want to, first of all, shorten your steps. That way, you're taking smaller bites of the hill with each step. This will make it possible for you to quicken your cadence, and if you can do that, even if it's only slightly quicker, it will enable you to maintain almost the same pace or exactly the same pace as when you're on flat ground. It will absolutely make it feel less difficult. Number two, lean into the hill. You already know to lean slightly forward from the ankles when you run. Well, when you're running uphill, just lean a tad more into the hill. But be careful, though. You want to be sure you're not leaning from the waist. Lean from the ankles. Number three, let your arms go. By that, I mean let them move more, pump more, and let them cover more area. In other words, let them move around away from your body more. Running uphill and downhill, for that matter, requires more balance. Trying to keep to exactly the same arm movement as on flat ground is not your goal. You'll actually perform better with a less controlled arm movement. This will help with balance. Think of when you've watched tightrope walkers. Have you noticed that they carry long poles, poles that are longer than they are tall? The longer the length of the pole, the easier it is for them to stay on the wire. Think about a time when you walked on a balance beam. Did you have to wave your arms in the air to your sides to keep from falling off? Well, in the same way, moving your arms more out to the side when you run uphill and downhill will keep you more balanced and allow you to have more speed, to carry more speed. Your arms will need to move from front to back, too, and you'll benefit from letting them move farther out from your body. Just let them go a bit. Let them flail a bit and pump harder, both forward and back. This is critical because when you're running on flat ground, you're only pulling back. You're pulling back with one elbow and then pulling back with the other. I've discussed that in the podcast about running form. Normally, you're not pumping your arm forward, but rather allowing it to swing forward just a little before pulling it back again from the elbow. When climbing a hill, on the other hand, pump them in both directions. When you pump it forward, it's as if you're using it to pull you up the hill. It's critical. Always remember and always apply these three techniques when you run uphill. Another consideration is to remember that if you're going to be running hills, be sure to warm up for a couple of miles first. Of course, you should always warm up, but since hills put more stress on all your moving parts, a good warm-up will be extra helpful here. And one more thing. After you warm up, hopefully, you're in the habit of doing dynamic stretching and, hopefully, especially before any kind of speed workout, a few drills. If you're not, I advise it, always. But that also will be more critical when you're about to run hills for your workout or any kind of a speed workout or intense workout. Now I have a homework assignment for you. Sometime in the next couple of days, find a hill and experiment with these techniques. The first way to do that is to practice them one at a time and use comparison to help you get the hang of it. This is the way I teach it to my coaching clients. First, I have them run 20 steps uphill as usual, no modifications. Then they run 20 steps using smaller steps and faster cadence. They repeat this a couple of times until they really get the feel of the different effect of each one. Then add in the improved or corrected arm technique and do that a couple of times for 20 steps each. Finally, add the lean and do that a couple of times for 20 steps each. I suggest incorporating one hill training day each week for several weeks until that new and improved technique has become automatic for you. In the next podcast, I'll discuss downhill technique. Remember that I highly recommend listening to books on Audible. I just finished listening to The Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod. It's a great motivational read about the power of getting up early to start your day with a routine of the things you want to get done before the rest of your household and the rest of the world gets up. This could be particularly helpful to runners. He makes a great point. Most people set their alarm clocks for the time when they must get up in order to get to work on time. Unless you're self-employed or the boss, work is directed and controlled by someone else, the boss, or some organization, some company that's bigger than you. And even if you are the boss or self-employed, you don't want to start the day with any kind of work-related chore, something for business. Elrod points out that sets you off on a negative tone of not putting yourself and what you think is best for you, your priority, first. He says to get up much earlier, like an hour earlier or more, and create a morning routine of things you do just for you. And this will set the tone for the day. Most people who follow his advice start with something like meditation and stretching, maybe reading a few pages, and exercise. It's a way of putting yourself first, of being good to yourself, and it will change your attitude when the alarm goes off because that clock is saying, hey, wake up and start your day as you planned it, with you in control. This is tremendously empowering, and who doesn't need that? Elrod has plenty of followers who say establishing this kind of morning routine has changed their lives because it changes their whole outlook from the moment they get out of bed. I'll tell you what, I am not generally a morning person, but reading this book has helped me to do a better job of it, to get up even earlier than I was before, and that is helping me to just accomplish more with every single morning. You can listen to Hal Elrod's book, The Miracle Morning, for free by going to audibletrial.com/mojo. Now for today's quote. An early morning walk is a blessing for the whole day. Henry David Thoreau. I would have to expand upon that, of course, and say, an early morning run is also a blessing for the whole day. It sure is for me.